Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is Trent Mell, CEO for First Cobalt Corporation. The company trades on the TSX Venture and also on the Australian Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol FCC, and now on the OTCQX, ticker symbol FTSSF. Thanks for joining us today there, Trent.
Hi, Juan. Thanks very much for having me.
Anytime. So starting off, for some of our listeners that didn't catch our interview from last year, can you provide us a history and overview of the company?
Sure. This company's been around for about a year and a half, and we've taken it from nothing, from startup to the largest, I think we're the largest now exploration company in the world by market cap, and so and poised to be a developer here soon. So we put the company together. Look, the reality is that cobalt is an electric vehicle story, and it's the choke point on the supply chain. When you look at the growth in EVs, what everybody is worrying about is, where do I get my cobalt? Right now, 60% or more is coming out of the Congo, out of the DRC, and 80% of refined production is coming out of China. And so our job was to try to find an alternative to that, because even that supply, while unstable, is not enough for the growing market. And so we put together three companies, merged them last year, to build up a very large land position in Ontario, Canada, in a town called Cobalt. We also acquired the only permanent refinery, cobalt refinery in Canada, that can produce battery material. And now we're in the middle of concluding our next deal, taking us into the States, Idaho, fabulous mining jurisdiction, and there's a cobalt camp there, and so we're acquiring U.S. Cobalt, should have that done by the end of May, and that will give us a really attractive asset in the U.S. that we think we can fast-track the production.
Right, yeah, and before we start talking about some of the, properties and, news there, can you talk about the significance of being on the OTCQX?
Yeah, the QX just gives us that added visibility, more liquidity. We've got a real strong institutional investor base, but the retail is still half of our trading. And so, American investors are an important part of that. And now that we've got an Idaho property, I think the interest in First Cobalt has only picked up. And a lot of people are looking for ways to play the cobalt market. Frankly, there's not too many pure plays out there. And so I think this listing on the OTC is only, going to give us added profile.
Great. So, bring us up to speed on some of the other, recent news, including the proposed acquisition and overview of some of the properties.
Yeah, so as we ended out last year, we brought together half of, what was once Canada's or the world's largest silver camp, mined a lot of silver. They also mined a lot of cobalt 100 years ago in an era where you didn't want the cobalt and or didn't need it. And so we've had a lot of success up there. We own now 50 past producing mines, and our drilling, once we've done all our modeling and data compilation, our drilling has yielded some interesting results this year. We now have a 200 meter strike area of mineralization that we're following up on. The reality is that production timeline in that camp is still uncertain because we got some work to do. So highly prospective. But then we set our sights on Idaho and U.S. Cobalt. Basically been drilling out a historic mine resource. It was something that had been identified in the 1980s, so they have managed to drill it out, confirm the mineralization that was drilled through the 70s and 80s, and I think they've gone much beyond that. So we're going to come up with a resource estimate. I think this little gem of an asset they have has been underrated, underappreciated by the market, and so we wanted to hold them in right now because I think that could become the flagship, or at least the earliest asset we can bring to cash flow. By using our refinery here in Ontario. And so the vision, when you look at cobalt XDRC in China, our vision here is we got assets in Canada and the U.S., and let's get domestic production on this continent, because there is none, refine it on the continent, and sell it back into the U.S. auto sector or high-tech space.
Certainly. And so what are the key goals that you're looking at here over the course of the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, but in the short term, we got to close this transaction. So looks like we've got near unanimous support of shareholders thus far on the voting. So the outcome is not really in doubt. But the stock, when you do an all-share transaction like we're doing, the stock price of FCC has taken a bit of heat. And so May 17th is when the vote's taking place, and May 31 the transaction will close. So I think in between that period, once the vote has taken place, we'll start to see a correction. So for my investors, I think it's a great entry point right now, but the ones that are in the stock are, we're patiently awaiting transaction approval so that we can get our stock back up over a dollar. And then once that's done, we've got a bunch of milestones here. I mean, once we close the transaction, Iron Creek and our refinery are going to be pushing ahead hand in hand. We're looking at a restart and expansion of our refinery facility, figuring out what the capital is going to be on that. And Iron Creek, you know, we're doing all the things a miner's got to do, right? We're doing the baseline environmental work and permitting and basically trying to de-risk this asset so we can bring it into production. And then a key milestone, end of September, early October, will be the initial resource estimate so we can show the world what this deposit contains. And I think people will be surprised by the quality of the deposit and how big it is and it can become.
Yeah, sure. And what are some of the, key synergies that, you look at as far as your acquisition strategy?
Well, the hidden asset, I guess, in our company right now that we're trying to bring value to is our refinery. A unique feature, when you start looking at cobalt around the world, North America has a couple of things going for it. If you look at Idaho, it's a high-grade deposit. The grades of the mineralization that you see there are higher than you get in the Congo. They're much higher than you would get in Australia, almost unsurpassed. So a 0.5% cobalt grade is high grade by any measure. And so we've got that going for you. And what that means is you can develop these deposits. They tend to be smaller, and there's less capital required to get them going because they're not big, massive, low-grade open pits. Conversely, the challenge you have in North America is a lot of arsenic. Cobalt falls geologically in almost every deposit in North America has big arsenic content. So as a junior miner, you can't just produce a feedstock and hope to sell it off to a refiner in China to make the battery material for you. You got to get that arsenic out. Our material here is 10, 20 times the import limits that may set before you can import the material into that country. And so our refinery is really in a good position, not just to treat our material that we hope to get out of Idaho and Ontario, but anybody else looking to go into production in the States should be looking at the first cobalt refinery as a key to unlocking value for their deposit.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, in terms of cobalt, you know, what are some of the, key trends that you're seeing there in the sector? Obviously, you know, it's well known for the batteries, but, you know, what are some of the other uses and how are you positioning the company to capitalize on some of those trends?
Well, traditionally, you know, it was used for dye and there were chemical applications, magnets, and of course, the aerospace industry. But the growth is really coming out of electric vehicles, lithium-ion batteries. Now, if you talk about the batteries per se, we have to include cell phones and laptops and those device, portable devices, because that still is actually bigger than electric vehicles. But the demand curve for cobalt is growing at about 9% a year. But electric vehicle demand for cobalt is growing at about 25% a year. And so when you look at the consumer-driven response here on the demand side, the miner, we can't reply that quickly, right? It takes a while to discover these things, to permit, to build, bring them into operation. And so when you look at the cobalt supply and demand balance, as we call it in the industry, we're in a deficit situation this year. We'll be in a deficit next year. And it's going to take the miners some 5, 7, 8 years, I think, to catch up to the trend in electric vehicles. So the real push right now for us is to hurry up and catch up to consumer demand and consumer interest in electric vehicles.
Yeah, certainly. And what would you say makes First Cobalt unique from some of the other players in the sector?
Well, we were pretty quick to build up and scale, build up with a big asset base and, of course, our fixed infrastructure. And we've got a team of people in our company that we're not junior explorers. We all come from big companies. We've all operated around the world. We've, you know, discovery, building, and operations is part of our pedigree. And we've got a big balance sheet, $30 million in the bank. We technically were financed for the next couple of years. So we don't have any pressure to go out and finance. We've got the right people in the chair, and with our market cap, we've been able to attract some really good, solid fund institutional investors that kind of have our backs. And yeah, for investors looking to get exposure to the cobalt market, I think First Cobalt has, you know, the scale, the liquidity, and the team provide a measure of comfort that we provide a good solution.
Perhaps you could talk to us about your background and experience, Trent, and talk about who the key management team there is.
Absolutely. So my own background, I consider myself to be more of a business person than a technical person than a miner. Having said that, I've been in the industry for about 20 years. So I started my career as an M&A person, more on the legal side and then the business. But, I cut my teeth at some of the bigger mining companies, the World Barrick Gold, Sherritt, the nickel company, and then worked my way into smaller and smaller companies where you can have more impact and frankly deliver more value. So I worked at a company called Orico, which we eventually sold to Alamos Gold, Falco Resources as a junior, and I stepped aside to let my shareholder take the reins there. And in building this company, I was pretty deliberate in identifying people that had a similar trajectory, people that weren't junior miners, that had worked kind of in big operations around the world. And the point of that is to try to get folks who know how to move the needle and know how to progress things at a certain pace. So Frank Santaguida worked at First Quantum as a principal geologist, worked in the Congo, so he understands cobalt and knows the big deposits. And then Peter Campbell, an engineer, some 35 years. He's worked on the street, on the sell side, as we call it, but he's also been a mine engineer doing mine design and mine development earlier on in his career with Falconbridge, which is now Glencore.
Great. So as far as investors and the financial community, what are some of the drivers there that you want them to better understand about you guys?
Well, I think when you look around at cobalt worldwide, there aren't a lot of investable assets today, and that's because most of the cobalt, 98% of cobalt today that's being mined is a byproduct. You're getting it as a secondary metal in a copper mine or in a nickel mine. And so we miners are playing catch up. And when we've looked around the world with our team, we quickly identified Idaho as frankly as a really strong, underappreciated jurisdiction for cobalt discoveries. And I look across that belt, the cobalt belt within Idaho, a jurisdiction known for 100 years of silver mining, and I see a lot of growth opportunities, but I don't see a lot of people actively working that ground. And so you need a team that's gonna grab the horse by the reins here and just move things forward. And that's what we're doing. Our first acquisition in Idaho, I think if you watch us over the next four to six months, I think people are going to be favorably impressed by what that asset holds.
Sure. So once again, joining us today is Trent Mell, the CEO for First Cobalt Corporation, which mentioned at the top trades on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol FCC, as well as on the Australian Stock Exchange, same ticker, and now on the OTCQX, FTSSF, currently trading at 58 cents a share. Market cap is north of $130 million U.S. And before we conclude here, Trent, to recap some of your key points, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Well, cobalt's been the best performing metal by far in 2017, and likewise, I think the prospects for 2018-19 look very good. Cobalt is a mining, it's a mineral, but it's an electric vehicle story, so you can take a gamble on one of the EV producers, or you can go to the commodity, which, as I said earlier, is kind of the choke point of the whole supply chain and is poised for really good performance. And then when you look around the cobalt world, the big producers tend to be diversified, so you don't really have that exposure to the commodity directly, whereas with us, we're, again, one of the biggest, if not the largest, in the space. And I think we provide a good risk-reward opportunity in that sense.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress, and we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Trent, and update our investor audience on First Cobalt Corp. It was great having you on, as always.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.